Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Pastor Dan Fisher and Pastor Paul Blair back with you as we are attempting to provide a biblical perspective on current cultural issues. So, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and quite frankly, everything we face today is something that God has given us some instruction on. Yeah. And of course, today we want to talk about some things that developed after our last podcast on modern monetary theory and inflation, which is what's going on. Go back and watch our last podcast. Recognize that the global economic leaders, governments, have given up on the current economic system. Yeah. That's why they no longer are even concerned about balancing a budget. You know, we had been from 1776 to 2000, our country had accumulated a total of $5 trillion in debt over, you know, 235 years.
And most of that was recently.
Right. Since 73, really, money was no longer worth a dollar's worth of gold.
No, exactly.
When you could just start printing it, because that's when the inflation.
For many years, we balanced our budget.
For many years, we had to.
Exactly.
And the dollar was supposed to be backed by something tangible, gold or silver. It's just a piece of paper. It said silver certificate or gold certificate. Yeah. And then now it says this is a dollar because we say it's a dollar.
Well, and you know, Paul, most people won't remember this, but with a gold certificate or a silver certificate, you could take it to a federal bank and demand that much in gold or silver.
And they were to give it to you.
I had to give it to you.
And all of that was supposed to be in Fort Knox somewhere. We are supposed to have gold.
Right.
Post-World War II.
Things filled with cobwebs.
That was the Bretton Woods Agreement after World War II. The world decided that America was, the dollar was going to be the world reserve currency. And America was obligated to make sure that the dollar had a value of gold or silver to back it. Yeah. Early 1970s with Nixon and primarily Henry Kissinger and his poor guidance, because he's a globalist, we went off the gold standard, and now we can just print money whenever we need to. And obviously, when you just create additional dollars out of nothing, it devalues the dollars that are currently in the system.
And it runs the price of everything
Absolutely.
Way up. Can I say something here about the spiritual implications? Because I know a lot of people may be thinking, well, you guys are preachers, and this is supposed to be kind of a biblical view. So what are you guys doing getting into economics? You know, if you go to the Old Testament, when God set up the nation of Israel, he pretty much helped them to set up their own economy.
Absolutely.
And so he had rules that they would operate by economically. And then every 50th year, he would reset their economy with the year of Jubilee.
Yep, that's right.
Because they would wipe out all debts and start over. And that kept their economy liquid and kept it balanced. So economics is a biblical subject.
A law against unjust weights and measurements.
Exactly.
You're right. A man can go into a certain amount of debt up to 7 years or 6 years the value of his labor, but not beyond that.
That's exactly right. He could indenture himself, but almost 50 years, everything was rolled back.
It almost seems that God was concerned about the overall physical health and well-being of his people, too.
Of course
In
he
addition
is.
To just they're going to heaven.
Well, you know, the way Jesus put it, God knows every time a sparrow hits the ground.
Yeah.
And he knows every hair on your head, and you're worth more than sparrows. And to me, that says a lot. Number one, it says that God knows everything that's going on in my life. But I think it also says that he cares about everything that's going on in my life. Not just that he knows, he cares. Mm-hmm. So God would care naturally about my economic situation, because that's going to have a huge bearing on the health of my family, relationships, my attitude on life, the whole deal.
And think about some of the counsel. I mean, Jesus in the disciples' prayer, the model prayer, Lord, give us this day
our daily bread.
You know, Paul telling the churches, if a man refuses to work, then don't let him eat. I mean, you've got to work
That's
to earn
exactly
income.
Right.
Pay for it. They were taking care of the widows and all orphans. If the families couldn't take care of it, then the church would
step
in.
Then it was the church, but only then.
Yeah, Acts 5 and 6, dealing with an economic issue.
Paul says, if a man refuses to work, consider him like an infidel and don't have anything to do with
and if
him.
He won't provide for his own family, he's worse than an infidel.
Exactly. So economics is a spiritual topic.
Sure it is. I mean, we're not Gnostics. You can't say that's part of my spiritual life. That's totally separate from me.
Well,
right now, my soul inhabits this body.
Well, and you teach a session on that in all of our boot camps on the compartmentalization of Christianity. And I highly recommend that if you haven't seen that, you go listen to it, because, Paul, you do a great job of teaching that everything is integral and that everything to the Christian is spiritual. There's no such thing as the secular box and the spiritual box. It's all spiritual.
As Paul said, whatever you do,
do unto the Lord.
That's right. Do to the glory of God.
So let's talk about practical steps then. From the last time, we kind of set the stage with what's going on.
Watch the last podcast. You need to know about this inflation. It's by design. We are not going back to the old normal.
No.
That's the tough thing. We've
got to
recognize that times are changing.
Well, in the America that we grew up in, I say we, I was born in 1959, that America in most places is gone.
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of an old timer. I'm beginning to become an old timer. So I talk about the good old days, see? But that America is gone. And most people who are 20 or 30 years old, they don't remember the America that you and I grew up in. So they don't understand where a dollar was really worth a dollar and that, you know, you still had some gold and that the world recognized American dollars as the standard of currency. See, that's no longer the case. And so the old America, I hate to say it, but it's gone.
That's right. Well, at one time, the country had to sell savings bonds. Yeah, they sold bonds to help finance some of the things that they were doing. Now they just print money.
Meaning they actually balanced
They were supposed to balance the budget. One time, theoretically, they did.
But with the new monetary theory, you just print it. You just make it up out of thin air.
Well, they are understand that. And please check us out and check out our other videos. I encourage you to see some of Dr. Malone's new Substack videos. He is certainly not a far right extremist, but he is an intelligent man, developer of mRNA technology. And boy, he has made a lot. His eyes have been opened over the last year. But understand the current global economics is being crashed on purpose. I mean, they've reached a point where that it was beyond salvaging. So those that are in charge, the global elites, those members of the World Economic Forum, which are most of the government leaders around the world, and many even here in America, but they know that this is intentionally taking us off the dollar as the world reserve currency.
Paul, because they want a global government.
Yeah. Yes, they
really
do.
They don't want America.
That's why there's no borders. That's
why
mass migration, borders. They want a global governance. And they, by the way, it's like global fascism, global feudalism, where there will be the elite, that 1% at the top that owns everything. The rest of us, as they say in their propaganda, by 2030, you'll own nothing.
And you'll be happy.
But you'll be happy.
You'll have meat every now and then as a luxury, and you'll be happy. You'll be eating bugs and other things. So it kind of feels like a huge tsunami coming at us. So what can people like you and me and folks who are listening do? What can pastors tell their people to go do?
Well, first of all, I would say this, and most importantly, this is a great time for evangelism. You know, we see a lot of eschatological implications here.
Sure,
now, whether the Lord returns this week or in 10 years, don't know. Could be sooner rather than later, but a lot of these things seem to be pieces of the puzzle falling into place. But the reality is, as our friend David Barton says, whether by rupture or by rapture, one day we're going to see Jesus. So
this
is a great time when everything's going on. Make sure your people have heard the gospel. Make sure they have trusted Christ for their salvation and surrendered their lives to live for him. But also, economically, the ability just to run down to the store and be able to get whatever we want, whenever we want, may be going away. As a matter of fact, the current president has made the statement that we will see food shortages.
Well, and you know, Paul, this is really already starting to happen. For instance, I don't necessarily grocery shop, but my wife does, and she's constantly talking about how parts of the store are empty.
Yep.
You know, I often go to a place called Qdoba. It's kind of a modern Mexican place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I experienced day before yesterday, they didn't have any queso. Now, I understand, what a big problem. You didn't have
queso. But it's a sign.
Well, it's a sign because typically you used to go to restaurants and they never said, hey, look, we're out of that. And that's not the first time that has happened to me, and that's not the only restaurant. Now, that's an example of what we're talking about. It's really starting to show up.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to Glenn Beck at all, Stu ordered a new vehicle now 7 months ago.
Not here yet.
And they haven't even processed the order other than, you know, he bought it, but at the factory. So he's 7 months into waiting for a new vehicle, and they've not even started making it yet.
I was down at the dealership yesterday having some service work on my car. You drive through the parking lot, the new car lot is empty.
I understand.
Very few new cars. Yeah. A lot of used cars, but very few new cars because the supply chain's been gone.
So really, this is already happening. It's just that We're not noticing it to the level
at
which we will. So what do we do? So let's name some things.
At the end of the day, recognize that what really matters, the reason we work and save is so that we can provide shelter for our families, food, clothing, and security.
Yeah.
So try to think simply along those lines. Doesn't matter how big of a house you have, you need a house. Clothing, doesn't matter if you have designer, you just clothing, security, and be able to feed your families. So one of the things we'd recommend is that, if at all possible, own property. If you have debt, minimize the amount of debt. Get as low of an interest rate as you can.
Take advantage of it.
And that's just good biblical common sense.
Because the Federal Reserve says that they're going to raise interest levels 11 times in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So if they do that, they just did a quarter of a point. So if they do that 12 times, counting the last time, which is just a few days ago, and they do it just a quarter of a point, okay, well, if you do the math, it's going to go up by 3%. Now, that may not sound like a lot. But that can make a payment go way
house payment,
up from where it is.
Huge
right
difference.
Now.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
Start thinking like we normally do when, for example, there's an ice storm or something coming up.
Yeah,
start,
if you live in the
thinking,
Gulf area or the hurricane's heading.
When your car hits a half a tank, go ahead and fill it back up. Don't wait till it gets on E. Start thinking about, you know, we have operated, as Dan said, in a just-in-time delivery mode where most stores only have about 3 days' supply of products because there has been such a consistent supply chain. America is the exception to history and the world because of the freedom that we have enjoyed.
Yeah.
That is starting to go away, as we've already talked about.
Yeah.
The investments, we are not investment advisors. Trust me, we're not. But recognize this, an asset is something that you can stand in front of or hold in your hand.
Yeah.
An asset is not a statement from your investment portfolio saying that you've got a certain amount of fiat currency.
Yeah, because you may not be able to get to that.
We see the Canadian truckers
have
their accounts frozen and taken, their insurance taken. So, hey, I still have investments. I think we all do, but
recognize
that is not really an asset. We think it's there, but with what we've already seen in Canada, it may not be.
So would you recommend then that based upon each person's different, but based upon where they are financially, maybe not all of their cash is in the bank. Maybe they actually have some cash at home.
I think that's brilliant, Dan. I think it's biblical. You know, when Jacob was going back to see his brother Esau after being with Uncle Laban for 14 years, he divided his assets.
Yeah.
So
is that diversifying?
Diversifying your portfolio. So I do agree. Real estate is a tangible something. You need a home, obviously, so that is part of your portfolio. Having some gold or silver, you can't eat it, but historically we know that after 6,000 years of human history, gold and silver has always been that medium of exchange.
Yeah, it is.
And wasn't America until 1973. I mean, you're supposed to have gold backing to the dollar. Have some cash on hand. Now, again, they are inflating cash.
Yeah, it could be almost worthless, but at least it isn't yet.
If you can't get to the ATM, if the ATM machines aren't working for a week, can you pay your bills for a week
or 2 weeks? Yeah, so one of the things that they could do is they could just declare a bank holiday and shut the banks down for a week or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do if everything you have is in the bank itself?
Yeah. You got to be able to buy groceries.
You couldn't function. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And have a couple of weeks' supply of food on hand. I mean, just in case, again, the supply chains, and we've seen Stu from the Glenn Beck Show waiting on a car now for 7 months.
Yeah.
So we might not have the availability. Our president, excuse me, I hate to say that, the president, the current occupant of the White House who stole the office. We're off of, what is it, YouTube? We're off of YouTube now again. Let's see, another show off of YouTube.
Who cares?
But he made the statement just a week ago that we will experience food shortages.
Now think about that. This
I've never heard the president of the United States. I'm 59. Never heard the president say that until last week.
Exactly.
And understand that you've got to be able to, in addition to economic diversity, you've got to be able to protect your family. Mm-hmm. We have seen the defund the police movement. And by the way, now we're seeing the federal government saying we're going to step in and refund the police. We do not want a federal police force.
No, the last thing in the world we need is
that is not what we want. The police are supposed to be accountable to your local municipality, the sheriff to the county, and he's elected. We don't want a police force that's controlled by Nancy Pelosi. But we see now with the defund the police movement, you call with an emergency, policemen may not be there in 7 minutes.
I may not be there in 7 days.
Might not be there in 7 days. So you better be able to protect your family.
Yeah.
And again, none of us want to go there, but you need to be able to provide and protect your family.
Our framers believe it was important enough that they put it in the Second Amendment.
Yeah, it's that important.
So they thought it was pretty important.
It was that important. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right after the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press and the freedom of assembly,
you
had the freedom to make sure and secure those rights.
That's exactly right. And I know this sounds crazy, but if people don't own a firearm, they need to go get one. It's a little harder now.
Learn how to use it.
That's exactly right. And you know, right now, Paul, ammo is getting almost impossible to get.
I know.
And so people need to think about these things. One of the things that I've stopped doing is shooting a lot because I can't replace the ammo.
No, that's right. It's gotten to be very expensive. It used to be you could buy a box of 9mm for less than $10.
Uh-huh.
Now it's gone up 2 to 3 times.
If you can find it. You may not be able to find it at times.
And then the last thing I think we want to talk about with this short list is one thing that scares the governments to death, and they're trying to get involved in it, is cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about with central banks, when the government can control your body, as they do now with healthcare and trying to force this shot on everybody, and if they can control your money, which they are, that's what this whole Great Reset is about.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, we have a video. Go to our website, Declaration4, that's the number 4, DeclarationForLiberty.com. You must watch this 30-minute video, What is the Great Reset? The chairman of the World Bank sits there and tells you that one of the reasons that they have a problem with cash currency is that they don't know who in America is spending where you're spending your money. In America, Mexico,
whatever. Which is none of their
business. Exactly. But it will be.
Yeah,
because with this central bank digital currency, they program it so they can track everything you spend and they can control everything
you spend.
So as you said in our last podcast, if they say you're driving too much, what can they do?
They can just cause your debit card not to be able to buy gasoline.
If you're getting a little too chunky when you go down to Qdoba, you won't be able to. It won't work.
Burrito.
And there is no cash, so you can't circumvent the system.
You can't do anything.
You are absolutely controlled by their central bank digital currency. And if you misbehave, if your ESG score, your environment, social justice, and governance score goes too low, then just like the Canadian truckers, they can just
freeze your bank account.
Or freeze zero it out.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly
so
right.
So you think you've got an asset. If they go to the central bank digital currency, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
That will be, in fact, organized slavery by the global governments.
And let me add something, too. When you mentioned buying gold or silver, I know that I used to think, well, only rich people can buy gold because gold is right at 2,000 an ounce right now. It's a little under that, but you know, a lot of people say, well, man, I can't afford to buy an ounce. Well, then buy silver.
Yeah.
Because silver is much more, it's cheaper per ounce. And so people can invest in silver at a lower level of investment. So if people don't feel like, well, man, I just don't have the kind of expendable or disposable income to go buy gold, well, then buy
some
silver.
$30 right now for an ounce of silver.
Exactly. So you can buy silver instead of gold. And I just wanted people to know that, you know, it's not just a rich man's game to invest. And remember here, we're not financial gurus, and we're not talking about investing to make money. We're talking about trying to hedge some of what you do have
against a crisis This is not even something you got to go to some bizarre or obscure website to find.
No.
The World Economic Forum talks about it. Our president talks about it. The global leaders are talking about a great reset, a new normal.
Yes.
So we would be smart if we would listen to them. If they're saying it, then it's probably because they know that something is coming down the pipe.
Well, and I think the message here, Paul, that we are trying to communicate is that there's probably been a time in most of our lives where we think, okay, this is going to blow over and then everything's going to be okay and we're going to get back to normal. I don't think that's going to happen this time. Now, it may
build
work
back
out
better.
Okay, but we better be thinking along these lines, and it's just going to call for more vigilance and to be more prepared.
Well, it's going to exactly, and we've got to resist this desire to centralize, consolidate government.
Yeah.
That you are either dependent on the government or you are independent. And remember, in 1776, we signed a Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
We want freedom. We want personal responsibility. We want choice.
Well,
we're
and that's
to take
why,
that away from
and
us.
That's why crypto could be one of the solutions because the governments can't control at least yet.
Right.
what crypto is worth. It's determined by the people who own it.
That's why it's imperative that we keep watch on our state governments, make sure they don't do anything to try to regulate it. But you're right. Crypto is a pure, what they say, peer-to-peer currency, a means of exchange. It is a true free market that the central bank doesn't control.
And the government.
So and the government. Well, the government.
And the government is the central bank.
But because they can't control it, that's what scares them to death.
Yeah.
So that is a great way to hedge, again, diversify.
Yeah.
Bottom end of the day, food. At the end of the day, most important thing is your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Live by faith. Hey, Jesus said, "In this world, you're going to experience tribulations."
Yeah.
We've been very fortunate living here in America as Christians for the last 75 years or so. It's been the greatest time in Christian history to be a Christian if you happen to be born in the United States of America. But at the end of the day, what really matters as far as economics and providing for your family is food, shelter, clothing, and security. Make sure that you diversify and get creative. You may have some ideas that we haven't thought of. Make sure and email us at info@libertypastors.com or info@ra4c.com and let us know if you've got some better ideas and we'll share them.
And you know, something I'd want to say to the pastors that are watching or church leaders, churches need to think about this as well, because most churches, if they have any money in the bank, it's all in the bank.
Yep.
Maybe the church needs to think about taking some of that out of the bank and buying some precious metals or whatever, just to protect what their
accepting
people have given.
Crypto and your tithes and offerings as well.
Exactly.
I mean, think about it. In what was it, Acts 5, Acts 6, where you had the first economic crisis for the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You had all the believers hanging out there in Jerusalem after Pentecost, and they were expecting the Lord to return then. So you had Grecian Jews, you had Jews from Babylon, you had Jews from Italy, all there. They didn't bring their ATM cards. They didn't have jobs there. If they were in from out of town, they needed some help. And that's what the church did. The church was able to come together. Of course, Barnabas was that great example. Come together and provide for the needs of their brothers and sisters. So looking out for the body of Christ fiscally is biblical.
It certainly is.
We certainly need to make sure that we are aware of the signs of the times. The Lord may be coming really soon. So do you know Jesus? That's the most important thing. But we also need to be thinking practically about how now shall we live.
And, you know, Jesus told a parable of five wise and five foolish virgins.
Right.
It's about his return,
but
it could also apply here as well. If we're foolish, then we have no one to blame but ourselves
if
we didn't make any preparations.
Those that weren't prepared, we're sorry they weren't
prepared. That's exactly right.
Buddy, is that it?
That's it for me.
I think we've covered it. Another great edition, hopefully very practical helps. So I hope that you listen to this. And again, we are not to live by fear, but recognize that times are changing, and it's not by accident, it's by design. You know, when all the global leaders talk about build back better, a new normal, it's not just a logo. That wasn't Joe Biden's campaign speech. That's the World Economic Forum. That's part of the plan, a new normal.
Yeah.
A new currency, a new economy, a new world, new world order, as a matter of fact.
Exactly right.
Look forward to being with you next time for the next edition of Riding the Storm Out. Until then, resist, and God bless you.